Walking through a door can change everything. The bride is standing outside the church, thinking about the future. The bridegroom's inside. He's checking his watch. He's wondering if she's ever going to come. Has she changed her mind? But then he looks back and he sees her coming through the door. In a few minutes' time, two will become one. A man is broken and bleeding outside the accident and emergency department. He's vulnerable. He is critically ill. He steps through the door. He receives treatment. He has a place of care that he so desperately needs. In the fictional C.S. Lewis story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and Lucy is hiding from her brothers, she goes through the door into the wardrobe. She has no idea of the world she is going to encounter through the other side. This afternoon, we're thinking about the door, verse 9 of John chapter 10. In this passage, Jesus is using an illustration. He's talking about something that is critically important for us. This is the most important door, the most life-changing door you could ever go through. The Lord Jesus is a good shepherd. He's kind, he's tender, he's gracious, he loves his sheep. And here, he says, I am the door, I am the door. Well, who is Jesus speaking to here? Who is he speaking to? Well, the answer to that question lies, as you turn back the page, into chapter 9, where we see the narrative of the man born blind. The man born blind from his birth. He receives his sight. The Pharisees hate it. The Pharisees can't understand it. Something must have gone wrong. Who is this guy? Who is he? How's he healed? Who healed him? What day was he healed? Jesus, verse 35, heard that they cast him out. The man who was born blind has been excommunicated from the synagogue. He's been thrown out by the Pharisees. And when they'd found him, when Jesus had found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of God? Jesus answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Who is this Son of God? And Jesus said, you've both seen him. And it is he who was talking with you. The blind man who now sees says, Lord, I believe. And he worships him. Jesus says, for judgment I have come into the world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we sin, therefore your sin remains. So the Pharisees are there. The blind man is there. That's the context. These are the listeners into this parable, into this illustration that Jesus is giving about the good shepherd, about the door, about the sheep, about the sheepfold, about life, about abundant life. They're listening in. Here they are before him. Jesus paints this memorable, powerful picture for them that even a child could understand. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. So the message title this afternoon is The Door to Abundant Life. The Door to Abundant Life. So just so you know where we're going, firstly, we're going to look at the sheep. Then we're going to look at the sheepfold. Then we're going to look at the door. And then we'll think about reasons why sheep don't go through the door. So just so you know where we're heading. So firstly, you are sheep. You and I, we are sheep. We're the sheep here. We are the sheep. Verse 1, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls out to the sheep. By name he leads them out, and when he brings out his sheep, he goes before them, and they follow him, and they know his voice. Jesus is likening human nature and humans to sheep here, isn't he? And it's actually really helpful if we can think about sheep and think about the characteristics and the nature of sheep. Because there are a number of parallels between sheep and between humans. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, it says this, that all of us like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's the Bible's analysis, if you like, of what sheep, how they behave. They turn away and away. The natural desire of every human being is to walk away from their Creator, to go astray from the God who made them, like sheep wandering away. Have you ever wondered why it is we rather would want to do our own things rather than love God and keep his commandments? Why is it that we wander? Why is it that we do not love God, naturally speaking? Why is it that self so easily comes to the forefront of our lives? Why is it that there is a foolishness within us? Well, it's because of sin. Because sin has twisted and corrupted the human heart. Sin has created a natural desire to go away from God, to do what sheep do, to leave God out of life altogether. So what are some of the characteristics of sheep? Well, they're prone to wander, getting lost. They're prone to wander and to get lost. They spend their entire day grazing, wandering aimlessly from place to place. They get lost. Interestingly, sheep aren't like other animals, because sheep do not have a homing instinct. They need a shepherd to go out and find them and gather them and lead them. They lose their bearings. They get disorientated. They get scattered throughout the land. Where do they wander? Well, anywhere, really. Anywhere where there's food to eat, where there's grass that they can eat. No real plan, no real purpose. And it's a picture of human nature. It's a picture of society. That within our hearts we have this bent to go away from God, to do our own thing. Maybe an aimless life. People have aims to progress their career, or maybe an aim to get married. But when it comes to God, there are no aims for God. There are no desires for God, said in Romans 3. There is none righteous. No, not one. No one seeks after God. We've altogether become corrupt. We wander away from him. We might be a genius, but we're clueless when it comes to God. Maybe you're like me growing up. I had absolutely no idea what life was about. Absolutely no idea why I was on earth. I was wandering into my early teens, into my mid-teens. No idea why God had made me, what my purpose was, what my destiny was eternally, if there was life after death, what the whole reason for being was. Complete, as it were, picture of a sheep just wandering around. No real plan or purpose to my life. And maybe that's like you tonight, or like people that you know. I had no idea I was made by God, for God, to love God, to serve God, to worship him, to know God, for a relationship with God. I was clueless about life. He was left out of my thinking altogether. I'd missed the point of everything. I was like a sheep going to the next pasture, as it were, following my instinct, following the next meal, following the next move, as it were. The next holiday, drifting, prone to wander, I was lost. They're prone to wander and get lost. What else? Sheep get into danger. They get into danger. They're exposed to the elements. They wander around completely exposed. Wandering to treacherous terrain where they could slip and fall to their death. Wandering to places where the grass or what they're eating is actually poisonous for them. Wandering to places where they shouldn't be. Wandering towards where they can be predators. Wolves, bears, and other creatures, especially in Palestine and other parts of the world. It's a picture of a sinful human nature. Wandering into danger. Wandering into addiction. Wandering into all kinds of vices, wandering into weakness, wandering, just wandering, not realizing the danger that we're in. Like sheep, people feed on the messages of the culture around us, the messages that God does not exist, that sin is not serious, that there is no eternal judgment, the messages that are dangerous. They're poisonous messages. And like sheep, we can feed on them. Truth is relative. Identity is fluid. Define who you are is damaging to the sheep. He makes them ill, makes them weak. It only leads people away from God into more danger. So sheep are prone to wander. Sheep are followers. Sheep are followers, totally incapable of finding their way to the sheepfold, even when it's in plain sight. Sheep follow sheep. Sheep go off the end, other sheep follow them. Sheep don't think for themselves very often. The people can be like that. We can be like that. We don't think for ourselves. We don't think, what are the messages that are coming through the media? What are the worldview around us? Is it right? We can be followers of the latest fashion, the latest worldview, the latest thinking, this latest government think tank. Is what they're saying the truth? Where will it lead me? What impact is it having on me? The movies and the voices. So it were the messages from movies as well, and books. We can be unthinking followers of the ideas of the culture, but are the messages trustworthy? Where are they leading me? Who am I following? Where is it leading? Be curious. Think about it. Where is our society heading? Are the messages trustworthy? We only need to look at the anxiety of youth, the suicide rates, the no-go places in London. We only need to look at these things and we say, oh, where are we following? Who are we following? Where is it leading us? Is it leading us into higher moral ground and beautiful lives? Or is it leading us into brokenness as a society? I think we know the answer. And sheep wander, towards the edge, and they don't see the danger. They don't see they can fall. They don't see, where the Bible says that there is a judgment, that there is a day of accountability. And millions upon millions, no idea of the danger that they're in, of the edge that there is, that is defined and definite, that everyone will reach. We like sheep. We wander around. We're followers. We don't recognize the danger. Secondly, there is a sheepfold. There is a sheepfold. Verse 1, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. The sheepfold is a place of safety. It's an enclosure. It's a stone enclosure where the sheep are to be. And they're protected. And there is peace. And there is freedom. And Jesus says in verse 9, I am the door. The door to what? The door to the sheepfold. If anyone enters, where? Enters the sheepfold by me, he will be saved and will go in and go out and find pasture. So what does the sheepfold speak of? It speaks of protection. It speaks of being saved from aimlessness, from danger. It speaks of security and freedom. It speaks of life, not death. And the sheepfold is an illustration of eternal life. Eternal life. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Jesus is talking about salvation here, about entering into something here, about receiving something here. That something is being saved from sin. You will go in, you will go out, you will find pasture, there's protection here. There is safety, spiritual protection, spiritual salvation in the sheepfold of salvation that protects us, guards us. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Verse 10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life, that they may have it more abundantly. What is there in this eternal life? What is the nature of eternal life? It is life. It is abundant life. It's joy. It's satisfaction in God. Now, the Christian is not somebody who is to be cold, detached, dull, miserable. Believer in Christ is one who is someone who has life, abundant life. His eyes have been opened to God. His eyes have been opened to Jesus Christ. He was walking in a direction with everybody else, the sheep, and following, getting into danger and aimless. But God has worked in his life. God has turned him around. All the others are coming towards him. They're all coming towards him. They are in black. They're moving in the same direction. But he has life. He is light. And he's walking through them. He's come to life. He's come to life in Christ. He's got direction. He's got purpose. He's got abundant salvation life through Jesus Christ. God's love is poured in his heart. He's walking in the other direction. What else do we find about this entering in the sheepfold? He will go in and he will go out and find pasture. He will go in. He doesn't go into a prison. He goes into safety. He goes into the presence of God, eternal life. What is life eternal? Jesus said in John 17, verse 3, it is to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, To know eternal life, to go in through the door. You will be saved. You will go into the presence of God to know God, to believe in God, in Jesus Christ, to pray to God, to come into his presence, to have fellowship with God, to have your soul enlightened. An abundant life and spiritual life. You will go into the church and worship with God's people in fellowship and have an identity in Christ. You will go in and you will go out from the presence of God. You will go out to speak of him. You'll go out to talk of your King. and shepherd and Lord and live for him. Freedom to testify to the gospel. Freedom to live in this world for the reason you've been created. You go in, you'll go out, you go on to eternity, and you will find pasture. You will find enriching pasture for your soul, for your life, as your soul is now alive to God and it grows. And you have joy in the presence of God. So the sheep, there is a sheepfold. There is an entering into life. Abundant life. To feed on him. But how do we get into the sheepfold? Thirdly, there is a door. There is a door into abundant life. Verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. There is a way of access. This is not a metal door. This is not a plastic door or a wooden door. This is not a creaking door. Jesus says, I am the door. This is a person. The door is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am the door. Jesus is revealing his identity here, something more about himself. This is the third I am statement that we have in the gospel account here in John, the third I am statement. What is Jesus doing here when he's using this I am statement? Well, he's connecting himself back. He's disclosing something of who he is. He's revealing his identity as the Son of God. Back in Genesis chapter 3, we remember Moses looking after the flocks of Jethro. He turns aside because he sees the burning bush burning with fire in Exodus chapter 3. This fire, though, is not consuming the bush. He turns aside. He sees this great sight. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside, he called out to him, Moses, Moses, take off your sandals. The place where you stand is holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. God says, I'm sending you to the Egyptians. You will redeem my people Israel. And Moses says, well, what is the name that I am to take? How will I know? How will they know that you sent me? And God says, this is my name. I am. Tell them I am has sent you. I am ever present. Always existed from everlasting to everlasting. I am from all eternity, no beginning, no end, begotten, not made. Jesus Christ, the light of light, God of gods. Jesus says, I am the door. I am the one who has eternally existed. I am the way of access. I am the way of entrance into this sheepfold for sheep that wander. The sheep that are blind, if you like, and in danger, and foolish. To come to this door is to come to Jesus. To come to Jesus Christ. To come to the great I am, the eternal Son of God. To the one who has his arms open. To the one who loves his people. To the one who loves sinners. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he says, he will be saved. To come to the Son of God, he may seem intimidating. He's holy. He's without sin. He is God. Self-existent. Eternal. But it had to be God to come. To save us. It had to be the I am who came. It had to be the Son to come and to redeem sinners, to save sheep, to lay down his life for the sheep. He came to swallow up death. Who could swallow up death apart from the one who is life? The one who has always existed. Only he could swallow up death. He came to conquer sin. Who could conquer sin but the one who has been righteous from everlasting to everlasting? He came to destroy the powers of the devil and of the air and the world. Who else but the all-powerful Son who could come and die on the cross for our sins could conquer the powers of Satan? There's only one door. There is only one way in. There is only one eternal Son. There is only one I am, Jesus Christ. I am the door. Only one door into the sheepfold. No other entrance. No other door. No other way of opening. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, we'll finish that verse. We like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. On him. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And it doesn't matter if your life is cluttered with sin, or as we thought this morning, dirty because of sin, ingrained sin, a pattern of sin in your life. It doesn't matter if you're not as bad as others. Whichever side of the spectrum you're on, you need to be saved from your sin. You need to come through the door. You need to come to the I Am Jesus, the Savior. You might say it was too good to be true. Well, it is true, and it is good. I am the door, Jesus said. Don't be deceived. There is not a multi-track way into heaven. No matter what they say in the media, no matter what it says in RE lessons at school, no matter what people might say in our culture, there aren't 5 doors, 10 doors. There's only one door. One offer of salvation. One purchase for the sheep. The door is not the church. Yeah, coming to church is not coming through the door into salvation. Coming to church is to hear about the door through which you go for salvation. Baptism isn't the door you go through for salvation. Taking communion isn't the door you go through for salvation. Don't look for salvation anywhere else. It is only in Jesus Christ. There is one name given under heaven, given among men by which we must be saved. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. So we sheep. There is a sheepfold representing eternal life, abundant life. There is a door to go through. Finally, it says, who can go through? Anyone. Anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Anyone can enter into Christ, can enter into eternal life. What does it mean to enter into? It means believe. It means trust. It means believe about Christ. Believe what the Bible says about Jesus. It means entrust your soul to him. It means rest on him. Depend upon him. Entrust your soul to him. Give up it. Give up the soul to him. Confess your sin to him. Jesus said, he who does not believe shall be condemned. There is no salvation anywhere else. It's only in him. It says, anyone enters by me will be saved. When Noah and his family were standing outside looking at the ark that they'd taken so long to build, they could see the door. God had called them inside. And they knew that if they stepped inside, they were stepping away from a world that is under judgment. A world that will be flooded. A world that will be destroyed. God called them in. Though it was dry outside, though they couldn't see the danger, the word of God to them said, there is danger. Come inside, there is life. Come inside, there is salvation from the destruction that is to come. Come through the door and you will be saved. You will survive when others perish. It's a picture. The true narrative. But it's also an illustration of Jesus Christ. Go through the door. Believe in Christ Jesus and all that he came to do. He offers you salvation. It means anyone here, literally anyone, no matter how long you've been wandering through life, no matter how much danger you've been in your life, spiritual danger, no matter how much sin, as it were, as a predator, has ravaged your life and wrecked your life. This door is open for you this afternoon to come in, to be saved, to be healed, to be restored, to be cared for by Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. You might be in bits in your life. You might be in distress in your life. And the door is open for you to come through by believing in Jesus Christ. You may have made some pretty poor life choices because all the other options were closed to you. This is the life choice that Jesus offers to you. He says, come in. Anyone, everyone, come in through the door. Look at that word, anyone. It is anyone. You've got to go in alone. Your dad can't go in for you. Your friend can't go in for you. Your family can't go in together. The door is only wide enough for one. You've got to go on your own. You've got to go and trust in Jesus Christ for yourself. Personally, individually, this is personal salvation. So why don't people go in? Why would you want to not go through the door? Well, you might think, well, I'm good enough on myself. We're not good enough for God. We know that we wander away from him. We know that we're sinners. We know we're hopeless without him and aimless. And we get into danger and difficulty. We know what life's about. And to try and live for ourselves is pointless. We need it. We're not good enough. There is no one righteous. No, not one. Jesus doesn't let you into the sheepfold because you're a nice person. You've got to come through him as Savior because you need his saving work on the cross to remove your sin and to give you peace with him. Maybe you don't think you need it. Maybe you think you'll leave it till later in life. You know, there's a day when that door will close. There's a day when the door closed on the ark. And the people of Noah's generation were desperate. They wanted to get in, but it was closed. When the rain pattered down, and the oceans broke up, and the rivers broke up underneath them, and the whole world was in turmoil. They wanted to get inside the ark, but it was closed. The door was shut. And this door, one day, will be shut. Don't leave it till later in life. You don't know when that door's going to close. Your life is taken from you tonight. That's the closing of the door forever for you. Don't put it off. You've wandered for too long. You've left it for too long already. How many times have you heard the gospel preached? How many times have you heard the invitation to come to Jesus Christ? And you've not taken it. Don't leave it any longer. What good is it done by leaving it? Step forwards. Step through the door. Believe in Christ for yourself. Take that step of faith. Trust in him and trust your soul to him. Don't look back. Put your faith in Christ. When will you be ready? When is it the right time? Is there any guarantee you will hear this again? Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't leave it any longer. Enter by him and be saved from your sins. Begin to know the shepherd, which we'll think about another time. Begin to know this abundant life. Be saved. Go in. Go out. Find pasture. Live a life that God called you. He made you for. That He sent Jesus Christ to redeem you for. Why would you put it off? None of us wants to be merely safe. None of us wants to be merely protected. We want life, don't we? Who doesn't want life? Who doesn't want the most abundant, glorious life that there is? Who doesn't want the joy of Christian life? Who doesn't want overflowing life? Who doesn't want deep life? From within, by the Holy Spirit, weighty life, joyful life, eternal life, beginning now, going into eternity, and the fullness of life in the presence of God, when God comes down in the new heavens and new earth, and we see His face forever. The door into eternity is here. This is the portal. It's Jesus Christ. He says, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Life, not stuff, not career, but life. Will you take that life? Will you take that step tonight to have peace with God, to know abundant life in His presence? Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. May you know that life for yourself through Jesus Christ. Amen.